Judges. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter number 2. The book of Judges chapter number 2. We will read from verses 1 down to verse number 10. Judges chapter, that's in the Old Testament roll. Thank you. Judges chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. I will just read through, and let's read together here. The Bible says in Judges chapter 2, verse 1, "And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. As I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. It came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gesh. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." And let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And God, thank you for examples, illustrations, passages like we just read that remind us of some things. God, I pray that you would speak to us through the preaching tonight. God, please, we think about the next generation. I pray you speak through Brother Wass, speak to us, give us exactly what you want us to get as a church, as families, as fathers, as individuals. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Is my life more dear to me than what he would have me be? Would I gladly lay aside each dream I hold? Would I count my gain as loss and take up my given cross? Am I willing to be spent for Christ my Lord? Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, death forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. It may cost me suffering in the service of my King. It may be a lonely path I have to trod. But to deeply know my Lord will be my great reward. I will gladly give my all. I've counted the cost. Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, death forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. The cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, dead forever in a lake of flaming fire. What what's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost.
All right. Of course, one thing I wanted to do this year as we are getting into our theme, on some Thursdays I'm going to have some of our pastoral staff talk about certain ministries in our church and give you kind of a biblical perspective of them and just some practical aspect how we can help. That's part of the teaching them. And we're going to start tonight. We're going to have Brother Ross come. Brother Ross, you've worked with the teenagers since you were really barely out of, in college, right? Yeah, we weren't very smart back then, but it worked out in the long run. Up front, it was kind of a problem. No, and Brother Ross has done a great, great job, understands our teenagers and understands this, and so Brother Ross is going to come.
All right, I got this one. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Should have a handout there.
I had a little, Brother Vaught said he wants us to get out early today, so we'll try to get this fast because he said he doesn't like preaching. He wants to go watch the Lakers lose at home. So I thought about him and thought about a story of him. After a long life and a very, very bad marriage, Vaught dies and arrives at the pearly gates of heaven. Where he sees, how he made it there, that's another story. Where he sees a huge wall of clocks behind him. He asked an angel, "What are the clocks for?" The angel answered, "Well, those are lie clocks. Everyone on earth has a lie clock. Every time you lie, the hand on the clock would move." "Oh," Vaught says, "whose clock is that?" "Well, that's Moses' clock. The hand has never moved, indicating that he's never told a lie." "Incredible," Vaught says. "And whose clock is that one?" The angel responds, "Well, that's Abraham Lincoln's clock." "Abraham Lincoln, wow. The hand has moved only twice, telling us that Honest Abe told only two lies in his entire life." He says, "So where's my clock?" He so eagerly asks, "Well, you sure you want to know?" He said, "Yes, sir, I want to know." He said, "Well, your clock is in God's office." He said, "Man, by God's office." He says, the angel says, "Yes." He says, "He's using it as a fan." Wow. So, anyhow, back to Judges chapter 2, Judges chapter 2 in verse 10, and the Bible says, all that gathered were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, sad statement, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And verse 11 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and serve Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. You know, we have different preachers maybe they'll preach series. Pastor Myers is preaching a series through the book of Revelations, and I remember back in the day when we had a Tuesday Bible study and a Thursday Bible study. I think Pastor Myers used to do the Tuesday Bible study, and Pastor Esposito did the Thursday Bible study, and he was doing the Beatitudes. And I remember the Beatitudes were going on forever and ever and ever. I don't think it ever stopped for years. And he would preach about the Beatitudes for a long time. But there's different subjects that you can preach on. Some preachers will preach certain subjects for a month. Some would even for years. But this one subject that I'm going to talk about today is a subject that is one of our coin, if you will, one of our models, one of our, if you will, I don't believe in tattoos, but if you believe in tattoos, it will be tattooed maybe on your back, maybe on your neck. It's one of those things that it is a grain, a part of our church. And Pastor Esposito would preach it over and over and over and over and over and over, because he knew the importance of the subject. Would it be soul winning? I'm glad we have an awesome soul winning program. And by the way, on Tuesday, I want to encourage you to come out. We went this past Tuesday, and my group were knocking on doors, and you got to talk to a guy. His name is Goodell. I would never forget that name because I remember that's the commissioner's name from the NFL. He was a postman. He's been a postman for 20 years. And I was witnessing to him, and I had Brother Chip and Kevin over there praying that he would get saved. And by the end of the night there, as we presented the gospel, Romans, and went to Revelations, and went to John, and went back to the book of John, he bowed his head and got saved. Amen. We have an awesome soul-winning program, and we have a great force of soul-winners. We have people getting saved and invited to church all the time. Soul-winning here is not just something that happens. It is a culture. But without this topic that I'm going to talk about today, our army of soul winners will little by little by little dwindle away. Maybe you think it's a subject of prayer. And we have a lot of people that walk with God and they talk about prayer. And we pray and we have a prayer meetings on Saturday morning. And we have a slew of people here. And the ladies meet in one room. And the men meet in one room. And we get down on our knees and beg God for different things. The teens have a prayer meeting every Thursday after chapel, and they're there, and my daughter goes, and she asks me to print things up and pass out, and I praise the Lord for that. But without the topic that's going to be preached today, we'll no longer have any people who would want to pray. You might think, pastors, our heartbeat here is missions, and we love the 1040 window. I love our missions program. If you've never been to overseas, I want to encourage you. Go visit. Your eyes will affect your heart. And maybe God's not going to call you to the mission field, but you know what? You'll have a tender heart to see what it's all about. These missionaries are not there just vacationing and, you know, smoking their cigars and drinking pina colada. I mean, they're out there working. They're discipling people. They're reaching people. I went to Laos, and man, you think of Brother Tong, that he comes and he's just, you know, happy-go-lucky, and sometimes he doesn't articulate right, and sometimes he doesn't, you know, say a lot of things, but he's doing a phenomenal job out there. Amen. Haven't gotten to visit Thailand yet, but Brother Joseph's gone many times, and the guys are excited about seeing the work. Now, I've been to Cambodia multiple times, and I can't but let that the work affect my heart, and I see it all, what God's doing there. We support as a church over close to 100 missionaries. We have about 11 family units in Southeast Asia, not including the singles, plus their children. And you just heard tonight, 57 or so people in that picture serving from our ministry. Amen. But let me say this, without this subject, we won't have future missionaries from our church. Matter of fact, we won't have future missionaries from any church. You might think, oh, it's the King James Bible, and we're King James only. And we don't compromise. We don't, you know, tell people, oh, you know, if you come over here and you say, well, we're King James. I'm glad that we have the Word of God, and we have, and the Bible is crucial. But without the subject that's being preached tonight and taught about tonight, we're not going to have a Bible. Or maybe we'll have the wrong type of Bible here in our church here. Maybe it's some kind of spiritual growth and spiritual discipline. By the way, the same way that a ball player gets good and a basketball player gets good and a football player gets good and whatever, you know, sport that you do, the only way you get good is by something called practice. Yep. You work at it. You dedicate yourself to it. You put a time into it. And the same way as a Christian, if you want to be a Christian, you can be as good of a Christian as you want to be. As you put time into it. As you grow in the Lord. As you get the Bible and you read. You can be as good as a Christian as you want to be. But without this subject being preached today, your spiritual desire and people's spiritual desire will be gone. See, the subject that's so important that need to be preached all the time, it needs to be in front of us all the time, is the subject of reaching and keeping and preserving the next generation. The next generation is vital. The next generation is important. The next generation, if you will, is our future. By the way, let me say this. I thank God for old people. Amen. And we need wisdom. But let me say this. I'm on my way down. I mean, age... At least I look better than you, Vod. Sure do smell better. I'm with the teenagers all the time, and I kind of think I'm young sometimes. Old Christina over here, he says, Brother Ross, you don't have bags under your eye today. I said, well, thank you. I got my foundation on in my, you know, my lift or whatever. It's good. It's good. But we're getting old. Okay? Haran, you're getting old. It's my sister. We need the next generation, and we need to train them, and we need to get them, because they're the future. Amen. And the world, the flesh, the devil, is like a virus in 2019. It's getting stronger and stronger, and it's very, it gets into our youth groups and our two young people, and it's affecting them. As Christians, we must do all that we can not to get infected and not to lose the next generation. The next generation has to be right so we can preserve what God has given here. 1 John 2:16, the Bible says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Hey, I mean, man, it's rough living for God now. I mean, you got technology, and it's helpful in the palm of your hand, but you got something dangerous in the palm of your hand. I love to hear about our young people and their love for the Lord and His work. Daniel Bowen, when he comes, he says, Brother Ross, pray for this person. I knocked on the door, I'm working on it. Hey, Brother Ross, I got this guy. He's in church today. Because the team soul winning, we went, we visited him. And I like to hear stories when Mark says, hey, these bus kids right here, they're soul winning with us. We knocked on their door a couple weeks ago. I love to see our teens go out bus calling, and tons of them come over here, and they get on one of the vehicles, and they go out, and hopefully you all have your seatbelts and everything like that, and they go out, they tell people about the Lord. They bring kids here, some of them older than them, some of them their age, some of them just a little bit younger. I love it when our teens are excited about team soul winning. Sometimes we have to cancel because of rain and stuff, and the majority of them, we want to go out. I love it when my daughter comes and says, Dad, can you print this up for our prayer meeting so the girls can pray and we can call on God. I love hearing Brother Daniel Esposito say, man, we have a lot of amazing teens that are doing real well. I love seeing teens teach Sunday school and out there preaching and in junior church singing and in the bus route leading songs. I love it. Amen. Teens loving God, loving people, making an impact, and serving in the ministry is what I love to hear. By the way, you might say, my kids are, I just am content of them being just good kids, or they just accomplished something great, whatever it might be. Maybe they can get a good job, and that's all good and dandy, and I'm not against that. But let me say this. I love to hear when teenagers are growing for the Lord. I love to hear, my son got a job. That's great. But I love to hear more. Man, I just led somebody to the Lord.
Yeah.
By the way, we're about young people serving God. That's no secret. Yeah. And if you come to our church and you allow your kids to come to our church, we're going to preach and we're going to teach and we're going to encourage people. Hey, do the will of God.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to go out and make money, kids, and parents, if you want them to do that, that's between you and God. Let me say this. You ought to point them and direct them. What is God's will in your life? Money never made anybody happy. Money never brought any satisfaction. Money never brought any kind of prestige.
Come on.
But doing the will of God is something that will last for eternity.
Yes.
Let me say this. Don't get me wrong. Some of us, we shortchange our kids. As long as they have a good life, as long as they're comfortable, as long as they live the American dream, that's what I want. We ought to have a higher calling. We ought to have a higher mindset. Man, maybe my son will be called to the mission field. Maybe my son will be a church planner. By the way, we have a lot of doctors. We have a lot of therapists. We have a lot of other people. And if you want to be successful and do that, great, do it. But make sure God's called you to do that. Oh, my son is a doctor. Your son is not that smart. How about praying, God, what would you have my son to do? If it's a doctor, great.
There you go.
Make a lot of money. Matter of fact, tithe. Give me some of it. I'll appreciate it. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with wanting good things for your children. I want good things for my children. But more than good things for my children, I want them to do the will of God.
Amen.
If you're not child, if your child's not doing the will of God, they'll never be satisfied. I talked to a young man for a senior day. He was in the back, and I talked to him. I said, what do you think God wants you to do? He says, I'm not sure. I said, if God called you to be a missionary, what would you say? He said this. It was a sad statement. He said, Brother Ross, as long as I'll be comfortable, I'll do it. I said, so as long as you're comfortable, if you're not comfortable, you don't want it. He said, no, sir. He said, I want to live life and I want to be comfortable. I want a good job. I want money in my pocket. By the way, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But I see people that they live for money. And they live for things. And they come out empty. We're losing our kids in our independent Baptist churches because people and preachers and parents stop emphasizing the will of God.
Yes, sir.
And they emphasize comfort.
Yep.
No wonder close to 90% of our churches, when the kids graduate, and I'm glad it's not like that in our church. Matter of fact, our church is pretty much the opposite. But the average church, close to 90% of them, after they graduate, they go out those doors never to come back. So what do we do? How do we see the next generation preserve? How do we see God do something with the young people? By the way, young people, God has great plans for you. Eye have not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. The Bible says not to despise your youth, but be an example of the believer. And sometimes, I'm young, I can't do anything. McDonald's, Pastor Myers, not the best food. But they are a very successful franchise, and they're mostly run by teenagers. Our church was unique, and our church is unique. And our church in the past was awesome. It's still awesome, don't get me wrong. But it was ran by a bunch of kids teaching Sunday school,
right,
running bus routes. We had something called Awana. Pastor said, I want you to be a Awana director. I was in 11th grade, 16 years old. And we went to an Awana meeting. I'm sitting there with all of these old people with gray hair, about 40 years old or so, right? They were stood up, and we had to get our names, and Bob here, he's 40, Bob Smith, and I'm the one of Grace Church over there, and this one, that one. I'm Nathan Ross, I'm a director at this Cambodian Baptist Church. Aren't you one of the kids? No, I'm the director. So what do we do? Number one here, real fast. I don't know if you have notes there. We must continue to see God do something great. The Bible says, and the people in verse 7 served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the people of the elders and outlived Joshua. Judges chapter 2. And then who had seen all the great works of the Lord that the Lord that did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. And in verse 10 it says, and all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not God. We must continue to see God do great works. You know, we can't just talk about the Samantha Sands and the Samantha Tangs back there. Now she's married. They got saved in our church here and grew in the Lord and was in the ministry here and now serving in Cambodia. That's great. But I thank God we have a Litzy here. One of our old bus kids here that somebody knocked on her door and got you the Christian school, graduate from school, and now serving the Lord here in Bible college, preparing to do God's will. I'm glad we have a Kyle Beck that got right with God here and grew here. Now he's a pastor at Monterey Park. But it's great to see a Titus Russell that God had brought here and that's growing in the Lord, that's loving God and building his bus run, seeing people saved, on fire for the Lord. I'm glad we had a Kumli Tongdi that got saved in one of our basketball leagues here. And now he's in Laos. I'm glad. I'm glad that his wife is there.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we have a Mary and Kevin, Mao or here that God's doing something great in their life. And they're a fixture here in the church. And they're here all the time and soul winning and serving. I'm glad that we have new blood here. That we see people growing in the Lord. It's not just yesterday. God's doing something right now. I'm glad there's a George here that got saved, one of the bus kids here came, and now he's a staff member. I'm glad we have a Chanty Chip over there, and he's just all soul winning, passing out tracts, and he might offend people sometimes and rub you the wrong way, but he loves God, and he wants to do the right thing, do God's will. I'm glad we have a Maya family there, and Christina grew up. I remember her coming as a teenager, and she was there. She came to youth conference, went to camp, and decided to come to school. Now their family is here, and she's in Bible college. I thank God for that. Yes. I thank God for Miss Elisa. Unfortunately, got into a car wreck with Brother Bird, but God used that to bring her to church and to grow her. And she's in a choir and growing in the Lord. I'm glad we have an E4L program that has 26 students that are here.
Amen.
That comes to church, and if it wasn't for our school and it wasn't for the program, who knows what type of home they'll be in, and who knows what type of future they'll have. I'm glad God has blessed us in the past. But let me say something. God is doing something great in the present. I'm glad our preacher, and I love our preacher, Pastor Esposito, I owe a great debt to him. Yeah. But I'm glad we have a man of God over here that God has brought Pastor Myers, and God has put him here where he can lead us, and we're going the same direction.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad this year we had 13 people already this month baptized here in that baptistry. I'm glad that people getting saved. Every week we hear reports. Today we had 4 people saved on the teen soul winning bus. I'm glad that over 300 doors were knocked on and over 50 kids went out. I'm glad this year our attendance has been higher than the last year. Our attendance has been higher than before. Our giving has been higher, and our soul winning numbers has been higher, and God's doing something great. And if you're not careful, ladies and gentlemen, you forget the blessings of God. We think about the good old days, and they were good. But let's show our teenagers and show our young people God's doing something great now. Woo, don't miss the boat. Don't miss the boat. We need to constantly see that God is doing great things. Not only that, number two, we need to constantly emphasize the next generation. Oh, I like this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. And the Bible says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." God said, hey, teach them. We need to constantly emphasize it. When you're sleeping, emphasize it. When you're lying down, when you're walking past by, next generation. I mean, when you're sitting down drinking coffee at Starbucks, next generation. We need to constantly emphasize the next generation. Pastor always says this, Pastor Esposito, you get what you emphasize. When you're making a decision, think of how it's going to impact, not just right now, but the next generation. And that's why we have high biblical standards. And that's why we do what we do. Not because, oh, everything is okay right now. No, because what we do right now in moderation, or the next generation is going to do in excess. That's why, ladies, let's dress right, let's do right. And sometimes it's not necessarily wrong. But your kids will take it to the next level. I see ministries doing this all the time. And I hear people, well, but that church does this, and this church, we're so narrow-minded here. Let me say this. I don't think the word is narrow-minded. I think it's biblical standards. And you can say we're narrow-minded. You can say this. We're just trying to protect the next generation. Biblical standards that we have is not just for today, but it's for the next generation. Deterioration comes slow, and it comes little by little. And the gray hairs just come little by little. And all of a sudden, you look like Brother Montgomery. You get a full head of white hair. Little by little, little compromises and little things, and just letting little things slip in. Hey, parents, be careful.
Amen.
Don't go to the school and say, hey, what this school did, dad, this school. Oh, they allow these people to date, and they're all right. No, it's not. I've been the youth pastor for a long time. I've seen this, and I've seen the cycle, and I've seen what it produces. And I'm not no expert. It's just time, and it's just being here, and stupid enough to be the youth pastor still. A lot of churches are changing.
Yes, sir.
Their music is changing.
Yep.
And bringing in the drums and getting in the lights. Let me say this. We're not doing that. Yeah. Oh, the dress is changing and worship is changing. Oh, we got to reach this new crowd and the millennials. I love the millennials. We have them here. And we love you. Amen. But let me say this. Let's get back to the book. Yeah. Our worship style. Oh, we just, let's not just soul win. Why go soul win? Let's just, on, you know, Tuesday, just go pass our tracks around your house. Oh, Sunday night church during Super Bowl. Who wants that? You know, have a Super Bowl. Invite your neighbors. And then after the game, maybe have a Bible study and witness to them. We're not changing. We need to constantly emphasize the next generation. We're going to be separate from the world, church. Our school is going to have biblical standards. And let me say this. If you think, man, if it contradicts and you think, hey, man, my kids are doing that, it's just, maybe it's best, and I hate to say it, it's best to not have them in school. Yeah. Oh, I just don't want my kids to be in ministry. I hate to say it. They're going to hear it all the time. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Just, you know, we go do this, that, and the other. I can't control what you do. We're just here to preach the word of God.
Come on.
Let's have high biblical standards and let's emphasize, hey, we're doing what we're doing not because of now. I remember sitting in pastor's office and he said, Brother Ross, I didn't understand. Pastor Myers would say stuff and I didn't understand. I said, these people are just old and weird. And he would tell me stuff about child rearing. I go, that is just way out there. Old fuddy-duddy. And guess what? I got a little bit older, and my kids got, you know, older. When they're kids, everything's great. You'd listen to me because I say so. But when they get older, that gray matter's there. They give you that. They start giving you that look, and maybe they talk back. Then you understand. You know what? I know why Pastor said what he said at that time. Lastly, and I apologize. I'm going a little bit over. Parents. Number three, you need to have personal responsibility. For us to reach the next generation, you've got to have personal responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, and thou shalt teach them. This is talking to the parents here. Diligently unto thy children. Yes. You teach them. Parents, dad, listen to me. Be the spiritual leader in the home. Your wife shouldn't be there. Your wife is a good lady, but your spirituality should be higher and greater than hers. You lead the home. The kids shouldn't lead the home. Mama, I don't know if I want to go do this. I don't want to just, you know, youth conference. I don't know. Oh, whatever you want, little sister. Why don't you become something called a parent and parent them? I don't let my kids make decisions. Oh, I just don't feel good. I'm not going to church. No, we're going to church. You put on your clothes, you go right now. Parents, be the spiritual leader in the home. Dad, be the spiritual leader in the home. Number two, there, letter B, support the biblical teaching of the Word of God. You will shoot yourself in the foot when you go home Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and Thursday night and you roast the pastor. Because one day when your kids need help, they don't have anybody to turn to because you've downplayed the preaching and the preacher so much.
Come on.
There's going to be a day where you need, your influence is not going to be that high. Right. You'd have better push them to spiritual people. Yeah. By the way, let me say this, parents. You got to teach your kids to go talk to the pastor.
Yep.
Get counsel from the pastor. Get into his office. I didn't make any major decisions in my life as a teenager. And now at 42 years old, when I need something, even though I know it, and I get it from the Word of God, I'll still go, Pastor, what do you think about this? You say, why? I believe in spiritual authority.
There you go.
Now, Pastor Myers is not the Pope. Okay? Matter of fact, he probably would like it if you don't talk to him. But major decision. Oh, we're just going to move. You know, we're going to move. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do this with our family. Why don't you talk to the pastor?
Amen.
He's not going to, he's out for your good and for your children's good. Well, I'm just going to send my children here and there. Why don't you get some good counsel?
Come on.
This man has been here for a long time. He's seen things. And he knows more than we forgot. I mean, he forgot more than we know.
Yeah.
Parents, be spiritual leaders. Number two, support the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Don't go home and roast the pastor. Back up the rules. There's been times where my wife said, "What in the world?" I said, "Shut your mouth." And then after the kids are around, you know, yeah, that rule is dumb, man. What is going on? Let me go talk to Brother Jim about that one. But we don't criticize it in front of our kids. Because we want our kids to know, you know what, we support everything. Amen. We're a team. Lastly, push your kids to the will of God. Push your kids. Teens don't do God's will because of three reasons. The pulpit, peers, and parents. I know we want the best for our kids. But according to the Word of God, the best for our kids is God's will. We are going to lose the next generation. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Our church would die. We won't need a new building. There's a church Brother Joseph sent me. He says, "Hey, the church, there's a building. It's paid off." Oh, man. Just a pastor and his wife. Nobody's there. It's like three buildings Brother Joseph's telling me about. You know, I said, man, get these young preacher boys. Get them out there. Get them out there. Let me say this, Bible college students, young men. Don't wait for a package. Amen. Just go.
Amen.
Pastor came mowing lawns, managing apartments. Pastor Myers didn't have a package. You know what his package was? You work for free and you go soul winning for free. Yeah, he says, "Here am I, send me." Amen. Let's do God's will. Let's get the next generation out there. Vital, vital. Our church is going to, you know, we're getting older here. But I thank God we have so many young people.
Amen.
So many young people. One of the kids at camp came to me. He said, "Brother Ross, I've surrendered to God to do His will. And this year, God has called me to preach." I'm like, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." By the way, when a kid comes and say, "Hey, I'm going to be a doctor," great. But when a kid says, "I'm going to be a preacher," I'm like, "Ooh, yes. That's a guy who's going to make an impact for eternity." Right.